Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Tuning in for Faking Movies. I believe we're on episode 9. Hey, boys! Did you think we'd get this far?
Oh, never do. Never, ever do.
All right.
It's a miracle every week.
Every time is a new adventure.
We're so awesome. I love it. So, as always, joined here today by Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. And also joined, of course, by our man Seth, who actually has a little bit of housekeeping today. What's up, Seth?
Hello. Something I wanted to cover real quick was I received some feedback recently, and it was, you guys are super negative all the time.
Is my mom
what of it?
And my response is, we're negative because have you seen these movies again? Like,
that's a good point.
We, like, do tell you which movie a week in advance so you can watch it too.
Yeah, I'm just saying that they don't hold up.
We want you guys to be horrified as well.
Yeah.
Well, you say hold up. I think a lot of these were fucking garbage from the get-go. Like, yeah.
But then why are they on the AFI Top 100? Wow. Oh, wait. It was made by a bunch of white dudes that are super old and shitty.
Yeah, sure.
Putting white dudes on blast.
I guess not to part the kimono here, but like, it's much less interesting if the end of the podcast is like 2 seconds long and we all just go, yeah, pretty good. Yeah, that was a good one.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was all right.
I mean, I think I've been pretty positive a few times.
Yeah, I like that stupid movie Lee just did.
I loved Get Over It.
Yeah. You sure did. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
You just can't get over how good it was.
Yeah.
So I guess my response would be, I know that I'm not going out of my way to be negative.
I am. That's just...
Oh, okay. Well, Seth might be.
It's just in your bones.
Yeah, you guys know me. There's no way for me to be positive. It's just not possible.
That's true, though.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't understand a world in which things aren't shitty and all the art I consume isn't horrible. So,
life is Stockholm Syndrome, the whole thing. It's just, we're just convincing ourselves that anything is worth doing.
I'm not going to try to be more positive, like, at all. I'm sorry.
I guess, something constructive we could try. We could try to pick better movies, but I think the problem is most people have seen them. Like, it's tough to find movies that we haven't seen that are really good or that other people haven't seen that are really good. So, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we also want, at least up front, to mostly do movies that people have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
When we start running out of those, maybe we'll be a little more positive because it's some hidden gems. But for now, it might be a little tough.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. When we get to episode 40,000 and we run out of movies that people have heard of, I think we'll be fine. But we'll be dead. So
we're definitely going to have the stick-to-itiveness to, like, do that, though. We're definitely going to.
I mean, again, episode 9. Who would have thought?
I am not bailing out on this. This is the thing I look forward to the most.
Yeah. This is life now.
Yeah. I do love this.
Yeah, it's great.
We need to start monetizing this.
Yeah, when are we going to quit our jobs? Like, a couple weeks, probably?
I have to get a job first.
Oh, right, okay. Mm. Oh, yeah, get that degree, and then we'll then quit.
But I've got, like, a September time frame, and then I'm out. So, we gotta hurry up with that.
Yep. No, sounds wonderful. I'm super on board.
All right, so this week...
On that note, give us money for free. We need a P.O. box.
Just send dollar bills in an envelope. Yeah,
coins. We'll take coins. They're more expensive to ship, I guess, but...
It means you love us more.
And you're stimulating the economy.
There you go. That's true. Keeping that post office alive.
Yep. It's a win-win.
It's really important.
We will,
we will only accept money through the USPS.
So. That's true. Right in the garbage if it comes FedEx. Like, ah, man, I really wanted to eat today, but oh, too bad. Too bad.
Oh, God.
Well, fuck, we're not going to top that one.
Okay, yep. That was too the
early,
top goof.
Too early.
Let's get into it then.
Yep.
All right, sounds good.
So this week, Zach is going to be faking St. Elmo's Fire. Zach, yep. What did we tell you about St. Elmo's Fire?
So I think I got actors and a director. So actors include Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, Ali Sheedy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, Andrew McCarthy, Andy McDowell, Mayor Winningham?
Yep.
Okay. Oh. And I quote, directed by Joel fucking Schumacher. So that's pretty exciting. Yep. I do like Joel Schumacher. He did all those shitty Batman movies. And,
yes, he did.
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot.
I do like Batman Forever, though.
They're the childhood ones. They hold a place in the heart, for sure. I think Lost Boys was him, correct?
Yes, I believe you're right.
And then I think there were some other ones in there.
I still have a set of Batman Forever commemorative McDonald's glasses.
I've gotten drunk with you drinking out of those glasses.
Yeah,
I think they were Burger King glasses. Were they McDonald's?
No, they were McDonald's.
Because I have a distinct memory of getting Burger King toys. So, yeah, maybe.
They came
maybe
when you one. Ordered the superhero burger.
Yeah. So they, Batman series was so big that they squashed the fast food wars for like 3 months. They were like, everybody does Batman. This is great. It's so good. Changing the world pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, did you know anything else about the movie going in?
So, I knew, like, some of these people are in it. I think I knew, like, Rob Lowe, maybe Demi Moore. And so, these people are all notably Brat Pack folks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So, you can assume that it would have a certain tone. Like, it's not a, what's his name, the Breakfast Club guy. Director.
Yeah, I know who you mean, but I'm blanking.
That guy that did all those movies. It's not him specifically, but like these people were all in those same sort of
John Hughes.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
So I assumed it was something like that, and then I feel like I've seen like a scene where they're like in a bar, but that is literally all I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know what the titular like astronomical event of St. Elmo's Fire was before this?
Absolutely not. That plays very heavily into my thing, though.
Excellent.
I'm so happy to
hear that.
I'm 100% sure in the wrong way, but I really like mine.
Well, let's fucking jump into this. I'm on board already.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Okay. So I talked this one over with Lady a bit. And I had, so I think for Ep 1, the lead off, Seth had some like alternative ideas, so I'm gonna throw out two of my garbage ideas, just for funsies.
Yep.
So the first one was a rom-com where an eccentric fella named Elmo is very saintly and like he helps the community, but he's like out of the spotlight, kind of like under the radar, and he's just like kicking around, but always like doing good for people. And then some girl notices him, let's say Demi Moore, I don't know, whatever, and then like loves him for who he is. And so he's Saint Elmo. That's about as far as I got with that one.
That kind of reminds me of, a little bit of God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater. The Vonnegut book.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say, those are words that I understand out of context, but.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So second one, we looked up, Saint Elmo is an actual patron saint.
Yes.
The patron saint of sailors
shows.
Well, I guess I did not realize Elmo was like a real name, but turns all right. Out.
So ding, ding, the first, Sesame Street reference of the night. Ooh. So
excellent.
Elmo loves your movie.
Oh boy. God. All right. No.
So he's the patron saint of sailors and abdominal pain, weirdly enough.
What?
Yeah, and so we were talking about that for a while. I was like, what in the fuck with the abdominal pain? But I guess, like, back in the day, you know, like, medical stuff was... They had no fucking idea. So abdominal pain likely meant you were dying.
Yeah.
And so they just made a saint for it to be like, oh, let's pray to something, because, like, diarrhea is going to kill you.
Yeah, if it was worse than just boilerplate diarrhea, you were dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your appendix will explode.
And... Right. Yeah, so I went with sailors on this one. Adventure movie where there's a freighter ship or a submarine at sea and a fire breaks out, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's like a race to stay alive. So like U-571, like there's a million submarine movies, like any one of those. Yeah.
I would watch that.
I would watch that too.
Yeah, everybody loves the submarine movie, man. They're all good.
With this cast? Ugh.
Yeah, especially with this cast. Yeah. So yeah, let's take a second. Like, I mean, this was like, I think this... Well, don't give it away, but like I'm pretty sure this is like mid-late 80s, I think, when this came out.
Yeah,
so,
That's about right.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, these people were all sort of in their heyday at that point. But yeah, like star-studded. Like, I guess this movie was pretty big, is my understanding. But like, you really can't go wrong with this crew, I think. So actual idea. There's a Catholic school called St. Elmo's in a small town, America. Andrew McCarthy, being almost certainly the mousiest, nerdiest one of the group. He's the what's his Michael Hall from The Breakfast Club? Michael Hall, yeah. Is bullied, naturally. So Judd Nelson, Rob Lowe, and Emilio Estevez all very much fit the popular jock stereotype. Like, you don't even have to try there. So this works, like, without much shoehorning at all. They're the bullies, and he's the bullied.
Mm-hmm.
So Demi, Andy, and Mare are all the sort of token girlfriends. And that leaves only Ally Sheedy, and of course, not one
famous
to...
Famous nerd.
Yeah, not one to be original. She is the... Exactly her character from The Breakfast Club. Like, she's very invisible, but like in this world where Andrew's like super nerd, she's the only ally. Not explicitly in the beginning, she's just kind of like also a nerd, and thus, you know, sort of the audience pairs them together. We established that one day the rest of the cast corner Andrew in a chemistry lab. They're pushing him around a little. And he falls and hits his head and is rendered unconscious. At the same time, this knocks over like a beaker, or like an Erlenmeyer flask. God, yeah, you can see.
I'm
so excited. Yeah.
So I halfway through this, like about at this point of writing this, I was like, God damn it! I did like the obvious thing again, but I don't know. We're going with it. So they knock over like a beaker.
It's the '80s. You can do the obvious thing,
right? That was kind of the whole deal, right? So true. Seems fine. So they knock over a beaker of something extremely flammable, and some spark happens and a fire breaks out, of course. Andrew
Freddy Krueger.
No, literally, yes. Very much.
I was thinking you were going to go Dark Man with it, but I like this too.
Yeah, so fire breaks out, everyone panics, and being, you know, 17, 18-year-olds, they don't do the right thing, they do the wrong thing,
right.
And they run out and just leave him there.
shit.
The fire spreads, of course, and then, like, as they're cutting to a shot of the school burning down completely, mm-hmm. we see that Ally Sheedy was watching through, like, a window in the door to the room.
Mm-hmm.
So she sort of like saw this all happen, but no one knows this, of course. She's mm-hmm. sort of the silent witness. So she doesn't have time to save him because the fire is like of a chemical nature and very violent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the school burns down and Andrew perishes. So the characters then make the usual pact to tell no one. They don't know that Ally saw the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. 10 years pass. Everyone graduates. Maybe they go to like school in trailers or something. I don't know what happens because the school is literally physically gone. So 10 years later, it's Christmas. People are back in town to visit their families. And of course they all end up at a bar, coincidentally, as mm-hmm. does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think this is like, I feel like I've seen a scene where they're actually at a bar, or maybe like most of this movie takes place in a bar. I don't know. But that's sort of where I was going with this.
Less than none of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
good way to define that, Lee.
Sure.
Between vague. Between yeah. one and all of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all like sort of doing the cordial hellos and whatever, and nobody really mentions what happens. But everybody's like, it hangs thick in the air. Like, it's very clear that they're all like, remember that thing? Like, so weird. And nobody, I hope we're all still cool. Like, that was maybe murder. Not great.
Is Ally Sheedy there, too? Or?
I think not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for her to be there yet.
But... Yeah, she's like the nerdy character. It would be kind of weird, I guess, mm-hmm. yeah. She is still in town, I guess, if that matters. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so they have a bunch of drinks, like, the mood lightens a bit, they sort of get over it, and, like, they're all sort of getting back into the things, reunion style.
I'm sorry, they what?
They have a bunch of drinks, and...
No, they do what?
What? Am I missing something?
Emotionally, you could say that they what?
They connect? What? Oh,
they get...
get over it?
They get over it.
Oh, okay. Oof, man.
I did
really
not know how you were fishing for that. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Oh, we need, like, cue cards to show each other. We got to plan this shit ahead of time.
Yeah, dude.
In the moment. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, God. Okay. Wait, is that going to be a thing from now on? We're just going to get over it in every episode?
I definitely am.
Yeah, me too.
I guess that's not entirely surprising.
Yeah, it's our newest, greatest bit.
Yeah, thank heavens. Can't wait.
T-shirts. There'll be T-shirts.
Oh, God, Zach, you're just going to have to get over it.
Really doing it. Again, you get three. That's two.
Okay. Oh, okay, dear. So they're at the bar and the mood is lightened.
God, I hope. All right. Okay, so... Yeah, so after like a whole bunch of drinks, they're all like pretty drunk and having a good time. They leave the bar, and Judd Nelson and, I guess, Andy McDowell? Why not? You couple them up arbitrarily, it doesn't matter. They're sort of the same at this point.
Yep.
So they go out to Judd's, let's say, Bronco 2, I think, probably. Makes
Dope.
Some sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's time frame, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pre-OJ, so...
Yeah, right. and they're fooling around a bit, and all of a sudden, a window smashes... And they're like, what in the hell? And it's Andrew, of course, back from the dead. I guess that's not all that surprising, honestly. Mm. It's kind of exactly where this is going.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he like pokes his head in the window. He's very scarred from all the burning, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
But alive, and no one knows sort of what the deal was or where the fuck he was this whole time. So yeah, he says something about like, didn't expect me. And then,
which is his catchphrase, naturally.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then looks right into the camera and winks, and it's yeah, it's a whole thing. It was the '80s. It's
add a betcha to that. Betcha. Yeah. Didn't expect me.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then so then he overpowers them, because they're drunk and whatever, and he kills them.
Okay.
So it's getting dark.
It was already dark when a kid that was bullied got burnt to death, but
yeah, there were no repercussions.
You know,
yeah,
that's a pretty good point, I guess. I kind of looked over that one.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that isn't dark for you. I don't know, dude.
It's, you know, yeah.
You did go to a rich kid's school, so I don't know, like...
Oh, yeah, we murdered people all the time. It was just, happened.
That's what I was getting at.
Only the nerdy poor ones, though.
Murder nerdy poor kids and do cocaine.
Well, you joke, but there was a lot. I mean, not me, but there was a bunch of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Don't worry, Zach's mom.
Disclaimer, not me, Darcy.
Darcy didn't pay for this cocaine.
Well, had I done any, she would have, obviously. But yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, okay. Oh, so we've got two down.
Yeah. You're right.
I'm
two of the six
assuming
down.
He goes on like a reign of terror now.
Couldn't have guessed closer, yeah. So this unfolds in a, quote, I know what you did last summer kind of way, where they're, they're sort of people getting picked off one by one, and they figure out the pattern. Like, it's literally all of the people that were there, and they're like, oh, shit, it's that thing, isn't it? And they're all like, yeah, it's that thing. So this is where Ali Sheedy comes back in. She, like, pops in and out. Again, doesn't really talk to any of them, but she figures out that he is alive, but is sort of spectating. So she's, like, not doing anything to stop him, kind of like in the first place. Like, she's more of a spectator than anything. Like, not asserting herself in any
way. She's a very passive character.
Exactly, exactly. So the culmination of the movie is Rob Lowe and Demi Moore, a couple, I think married at this point. Everyone else is dead. I think they're probably the most famous of this group, like male, female wise.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Andrew McCarthy and Ali Sheedy. There's some big like standoff thing. Ali reveals that she knew all along, and she finally tries to sort of assert herself and take some action and stop him from killing the last of the group, like in this triumphant sort of rise above moment. He sort of like pushes her out of the way and kills them anyway, saying the usual stuff about like they deserve it and they're horrible people and like look at me, I'm a monster and all that shit. And then as he turns around to face her, she shoots him and kills him, thus ending sort of the madness. But I mean, again, after he's already murdered all these people, so and so the whole saga is over. But Ali now has to carry around another secret forever. So she's the real sort of tortured one of this group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She's the tragic figure.
Yeah, exactly.
But, other than all the people who are dead.
Yeah. But
so
yeah.
I was trying to think of some alternate ending where like it sets up some sequel, because like horror movies always have sequels.
Yeah,
abundantly, but it didn't really make a whole lot of. I mean, this is just a ripoff of I Know What You Did Last Summer, to be honest. But
maybe yeah. the Andrew McCartney character was actually Ali Sheedy wearing a mask.
Sure. Well, we only find that out in the third one, though. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
they bide their time. Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I mean, you gotta stretch it. Stretch.
Oh yeah. They already greenlight like eight of them. Yeah.
You always gotta be thinking franchise at this point.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta get that McDonald's Batman Cup money.
So, are you ready to hear the IMDb quick synopsis?
You got it, Lee. I've got it too.
I do have it.
Okay. Go ahead.
A group of friends just out of college struggle with adulthood.
Say it again.
That's the whole synopsis.
That's it.
That's yeah. The whole thing? That's the whole thing.
That is the whole thing. That's the whole movie.
That's an abysmal synopsis. That's just everyone's life. Like I did that. That.
So yeah. It's a group of friends from Georgetown, and you know some of them are coupled up.
Yeah. Okay. I have a problem with it being from Georgetown, insofar as DC has never looked like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the set of Back to the Future in the 50s.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Except it's nominally Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I mean, have you been to Georgetown? Georgetown's pretty, like, old school, like, brownstone, marble, everything, all that shit.
Yeah, but...
And also, well, I mean, it's a bunch of white people. Like, they pretty fucking nailed Georgetown, to be honest.
Can I tell you what you were dead on about?
Oh, please.
St. Elmo's Fire, well, St. Elmo's, is the name of the bar they all hang out at.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they spend a lot of time at St. Elmo's.
So is fire's not a literal thing? That's just like a...
it becomes one later in the movie.
Well, only in one sentence.
Like, in which Rob Lowe is using it as a metaphor.
Yeah, like I was worried that they weren't going to explain the St. Elmo's Fire for the entire movie, and it was just going to be an arbitrary name.
Yeah.
Which it ended up being, essentially. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so just to skip to the end, more or less, Demi Moore is, like, trying to kill herself, maybe.
And I don't think that she is. She is just sitting in a cold room.
Her friends decide. Her friends decided she's trying to kill herself.
Yeah, there's like blow torches trying to cut through the window and shit.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
And Rob Lowe gets in because he's the like scummy one, so he knows how to do this shit.
So real life, yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's explaining what St. Elmo's fire in real life is, which, you know, optical illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's relating that to her problems in life, how they're just illusions. And while he's doing that, he's shooting hairspray through a lighter. And he's just going, it's just St. Elmo's fire. Inside. He's doing this inside.
Mm-hmm. So many questions.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning of this, okay. literal shit show of a movie.
Do we want to talk about the opening scene in which Rob Lowe is playing a saxophone in the back of an ambulance after he gets into a car crash?
Watch the sax! Watch the sax!
You guys are just using Seth's app again that just strings random words together. God damn it. You just spin the wheel and it comes up with Rob Lowe's saxophone ambulance and you're like, movie time!
I need to point out that Rob Lowe wears a distracting amount of makeup in this movie and no one ever mentions it.
Yeah, there's guyliner, there's rouge,
That was probably all the coke, to be honest. He was all fucking strung out, I would imagine. Yeah.
Probably.
The entire cast was strung out, let's be honest.
Well, that's kind of what they did, right? That was the whole deal. Yeah.
Well, actually, I read something online that as a condition of being cast in the movie, the studio made Demi Moore go to rehab.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. It feels like they could do no wrong back then. Like, wasn't that the whole deal? Is they were so famous that everybody's just like, oh, they're all assholes, but fuck, I don't know. They just make so much money for us.
Well, that leads me to another quote that I really need to talk about.
Okay.
This is directly from Joel Schumacher.
Uh-huh.
Like, actual quotes. A lot of people turned down the script. The head of one major studio called its 7-member cast the most loathsome humans he had ever read on the page.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, whoever said that was correct, because all of these people, maybe not Mare Whittingham, her character's okay.
I guess, but she's...
Kinda.
Yeah, okay, let's get into some plot, shall we?
Yeah.
well, as it is, because there's really no plot to this.
I don't know. You start with Rob Lowe in an ambulance playing a saxophone. It can only get more fucking weird from that.
Well, so like he's sleeping with what's her name, right?
Mary. Mm. No, she's in love with him, and like they tease that at different points. Like, why won't you just get over him? It's like, I don't know why I can't get over him.
God damn. No, that's three. You're done. That's it.
We didn't say the exact phrase, Zach. It's cool. We weren't like, Elmo says, get over him.
Yay. Three.
Elmo says, put on a Midsummer Night's Dream.
No, they don't actually sleep together till the end of the movie.
Wait, so is this not a reunion thing? Are they're actually current friends? It's just a bunch of people that
they have recently graduated.
Okay,
that end of the movie thing though, her virginity is Rob Lowe's quote unquote going away present.
Oh. Yeah.
Rob Lowe, who happens to be married to the girl he had a kid with in college.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yikes.
Oh, yeah. Everyone is garbage.
Oh, oof. Also, because I need to bring this up. At the end of the movie, the big, like closing scene is they're seeing Rob Lowe off because he's going to go to New York City now because, like, things haven't worked out in D.C.
Yeah, and put your goddamn saxophone in a
case. In a fucking case.
What, he just has it slung over his shoulder?
Yes! Yeah, with, like, a fucking piece of twine. Oh, I was so pissed off. He apparently doesn't own a case.
He just sets it on the sidewalk and kicks it down the road.
But the thing is, he gets on this fucking bus and they're all like, oh, we're so glad that you're like finding yourself and finally growing up. And it's like, you literally just abandoned your toddler son.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Also, he's like, what, 22? Like, oof.
Yeah, like 24. He just graduated college. And over the course of the movie, he has about 7 different jobs.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. Yeah, he's constantly shifting. And this is, like, within a year of their graduation.
I think, and I think the movie itself takes place over the course of a few weeks.
Wait, really?
I think so.
It goes from being like a decent temperature outside to them needing coats, though. So that's Well, anyway, I'm not going to say that it's terribly good at consistency.
Well, that's true.
Sure, sure.
Oh boy. I don't even know. How do we start this?
I know, right?
So, is there a point at all? Or the point is just, like, it's a bunch of people, like, trying to figure out what life at 23 is like? Is that the whole thing?
Yeah,
it's just like, hard. Being rich and going to Georgetown is meh. That's kind of the deal.
So, like, all the guys in the group are different types of douchebag stereotype.
Okay. Oh, and they're all horrible. The men, especially in this movie, are just the most loathsome humans that I can think of.
I buy that, yeah.
Since he was so important to your movie, Zach, I want to bring up Andrew McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so he plays a faux deep person in the way that only a faux deep person could actually play.
Yeah,
like, I feel like he really believes his bullshit that he's spouting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I think this is on brand for all of those people, right? Like, they were all, like, children that were just more famous than God at that point.
Mm-hmm. So he has a coffin in his apartment as decoration.
Oh, and yeah.
He's also a journalist who writes obituaries, but his first, like... His first non-obituary byline over the course of the movie is literally its title, The Meaning of Life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, newspapers love that.
Yeah. Motherfucker, you are 23.
Oh, no. I remember when I was 23. I feel like that's when I met you guys. It was about that age. And
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I definitely knew everything there was to know.
I mean, at the time, yeah. But then you only learned that, like, oh, Jesus.
No, Zach, I was right.
Oh, okay. Well,
Seth has made zero progress.
Nope. I have absolutely not changed from...
Figured it out. Nope. Nailed it. Got it in one.
Mm-hmm. Hey, also, Seth, do you remember when Andrew McCarthy picks a fight with a prostitute and tells her that she doesn't understand love or struggle?
I do remember that, and I don't understand the prostitute's, like, role in any part of this movie.
I can't speak to whether she understands love, but I'm guessing she for sure understands struggle.
Yep.
That's another thing. Like, race in this movie, all of the, like, black characters are, like, victims or...
At best, service workers.
Yeah.
Ooh. Is that just period correct or, like, culturally a thing from the 80s?
That's 80s movie. Is that correct? A thing? Like, if you're not if you're not gay, you're also not black in a movie in the 80s.
Right. Uh-huh. Like, right. Well, so that's the other thing. So it sounds like this whole movie is just, like, it's very much catering to exactly the demographic that these characters are.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, The Breakfast Club did as well. Like, you know, you watch that in high school and you're like, oh, this is pretty good. And you watch it 10 years after high school and you're like, oh, shit, I totally get it now. Like, yeah, that was what high school was like. Like, is that what they were doing here? They're just, like, a bunch of people that are just out of college, like, fucking around, just doing the things that everybody's like, I relate to this. Or, like, this is what my life should be like. Or that kind of thing.
Zach, you said exactly what they're doing, and that is fucking around. Yeah. Everyone is cheating on everyone else.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Judd Nelson and Ally Sheedy are together, and he just is constantly telling every character other than her about how he's cheating on her.
And
Judd and Ally, huh? Okay.
And he asks her to marry him, like, every other scene.
Oh. Good move.
Also, like, this whole movie is about women being railroaded by shitty dudes.
Yeah, it simultaneously puts women on pedestals while also hating all women.
Yeah, it's so really upsetting.
Do you think there's a point to that? Like, were they trying to make some commentary there?
No, this movie is not nearly intelligent enough.
Oh my god, okay. No. Okay. No way.
Okay, alright, so to take a step back, this movie was very famous, right? Like, I mean, it comes, like, it was before I think I was born, I think.
Yeah, it was a minor hit, I think.
It was 85.
Alright, so just before, then, yeah. But, like, this comes up in pop culture a fair amount, I think. Or yeah. did, maybe?
I mean, it's not the lowest tier of the Brat Pack, but it's definitely not in the top tier either. Like, okay. It's very middling in terms of both success and... Well, I don't know. It's pretty shitty quality, so...
That's for sure.
Fart sound.
Seth, do you want to bring up... do you want to bring up Emilio's
character arc? Yeah, let's jump into Emilio's bullshit.
Okay, Emilio! Also, though... really
all
right, quick.
Wait, let me lead off. Mighty Ducks 2 is my favorite movie of all time.
Yes, I know
if
that.
Y'all shit on Emilio, I'm gonna jump through this computer. Swear to God.
Well,
so real quick, though. Emilio's character's name is Kirby.
Yep.
And his nickname is Kirby. Kerbo. His nickname, though, is Kerbo. Yeah. That is just one letter different. It's the same amount of letters.
Same syllables, same letters. Yep. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I don't understand.
Also,
anyway.
People are definitely named Kirby ever. They're not. They're really not.
Unless they have a dreamland.
Yes, well, very true.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fictional balloon characters, maybe. Yeah.
Fine. Well, yeah. Emilio Estevez in this movie is kind of a fictional balloon character. You know, the way
he floats through life not getting arrested.
Yeah, and kind of wafts into windows, upsettingly.
Okay, go on.
So,
at least twice.
Alright, so we told you the beginning of the movie starts in a hospital, right? Everybody leaves the hospital to go to the bar after having just been caught for drunk driving. But that's clearly not a problem. It's cool.
Wait, who gets caught for drunk driving?
Rob Lowe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But...
I guess it doesn't really matter.
Everybody else departs, and then Emilio goes back into the hospital because he saw a doctor there who he had a crush on when he was a freshman at Georgetown, and she was a senior.
Played by Andy McDowell.
Played by Andy McDowell.
Okay.
He proceeds to straight up stalk her.
I mean,
following her to her house.
Wow.
Harassing her roommate. In fact, he threatens to murder her roommate at one point.
Yes, he does.
Oh boy.
He follows her to a party in the pouring rain and then like stares using the creepiest look that I've ever seen in a window at her and then busts into the party and verbally assaults her.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Who the fuck are you?" Like...
And then she takes him home with her.
Oh, because 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sure. like,
so that's, and that's not even close to the worst fucking thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. I was ramping up. Go ahead, Lee. Talk about this last bit.
So when he threatens her roommate, he threatens her to, because he threw a party. He's like, "You should come to my party." And Andy McDowell's like, "Yeah, maybe." And she doesn't. So he goes to her house, threatens her roommate, and finds out that it's because she went on a ski vacation with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. You're saying this like it makes any goddamn sense.
So then he drives...
Oh, no, it does not make any goddamn sense.
So then he drives up there
to
the ski vacation.
Uh-huh.
And, like, forces his way in.
Is this movie, like, 4.5 hours long? Like, how do they have time for all this bullshit?
Because nothing is flushed out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, but if, like, okay, you're saying Georgetown bar, blah, 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 and then there's just, like, Emilio Estevez drives to a ski resort in the middle of it? Like,
yeah, he's not really, he doesn't interact with a lot of the other friends all that much.
No.
Oh.
Because he's busy stalking Andy McDowell.
Oh, yeah. All right, sure.
Seth,
I mean,
do you wanna,
not really, but okay.
Do you want to give the capper to how this stalking relationship ends?
Oh, so he gets rewarded for his stalking by, like, getting a kiss and a photo from Andy McDowell.
Oh!
The boyfriend comes out of the cabin and takes a picture of them together.
Oh, cool. All
right.
And then he drives away in a car that he stole from his boss.
Yep. No. That was a car he stole from his friend. He tried to seduce her in a car that he stole from his boss.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get your facts straight.
You're right.
We pause this right now so I can go watch this? This is so... I can't picture how this is all coming together. It's so
really,
fucking bizarre.
You should not watch this movie. This is a bad movie.
It is on Prime right now, though, so...
Oh, was it? Because I stole a copy of it, so I don't know. I mean, Edit that out.
So,
I mean, I legally streamed it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Seth's social security number is 19.
So I during this whole movie, especially the Emilio Estevez parts, I thought it could be recut as a horror movie easily.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, fucking right on. I agree.
Like, somebody should do that. One of our listeners that's talented should recut this movie, like a trailer, as a horror movie, because it would be so easy to do that.
And once they load it on the internet, they should also send us money.
Yeah, well, that too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just $100 a month. It's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel we should really bring up how Ally Sheedy is like treated as a prize for Andrew McCarthy and Judd Nelson to fight over.
Yep.
And even though she ends up with neither of them, she still is somehow the biggest loser in the situation. Like,
so I was going to say, like, okay, that's kind of fun, though. So Ally Sheedy is, like, historically the shitty, mousy character in all these movies.
I really think that you're only thinking of her in The Breakfast Club, because I don't think that she can play that character in anything else, really.
You're 100% correct, yes.
Yeah. Because she was just as much of, like, a sex pod as your Molly Ringwalds, etc.
Really?
In other films, yeah.
I must have not seen any of these.
Like, it took me like 20 minutes to recognize that Demi Moore was Demi Moore in this movie. I had no idea that was Demi Moore until I was like, wait, wasn't Demi Moore supposed to be in this movie? Oh, wait, that's her.
Well, this is pre A Few Good Men by, let's say,
this is our second 8 years. Demi Moore movie.
Yeah, okay, we got 2 Jack Nicholson's, 2 Demi Moore's. We got to fucking lay off of those. Yeah.
You don't want to do...
G.I. Jane.
Yep.
Maybe. All right.
Fuck this movie.
This movie is...
This movie.
Yeah.
This is total garbo.
I do want to bring up quickly the one, like, fun thing about this movie. It's
what
the theme
that?
Song.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man in Motion. It's St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion.
Yeah, you sung this to me, like, a bit ago.
Look at me, I'm a man in motion.
Yeah, that's the one.
So it was by this guy named John Parr, and he actually didn't write it for the movie. He wrote it for Canadian Paralympian named Rick Hansen, who was
You're using the app again. Stop it.
Rick Hansen, who was traveling around the world on his wheelchair, raising awareness for spinal cord injuries.
No.
And he called it the Man in Motion Tour. This guy is actually considered a national hero in Canada. He raised millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars for spinal cord research.
God, I hope that's true, because it's like the only positive thing to come out of this. But surely you're making
And they double troubled this song to also throw it on top of this movie.
Did all that money go to the research, too?
I doubt it.
The $40 million that this made? Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this
movie
was...
That all went right up Rob Lowe's nose, let's be honest.
This movie was less successful financially than a guy riding his wheelchair around the world.
That's really good perspective, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, it was a minor hit.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
This movie is just so upsetting to anybody who believes women are people.
So, I was going to say, while we were doing this, I just looked up the Bechdel test.
Passes. Because there's a part where Demi Moore and Ally Sheedy are drinking literal pints of vodka.
And talking about Demi Moore's stepmother.
Yeah.
Ah.
But they're drinking so much vodka.
Well, it's also bad when you know that there's one... Like, when you can name the scene that passes the Bechdel test, that's
bad.
Oh,
yeah, me and Seth immediately knew which scene it was.
That's not a good... That's not a good look. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I guess... I'm just going to skip to this part.
God.
Actual St. Elmo's Fire... I would gladly get drunk and watch it with a group of like-minded people.
You would have to, and just revel in the insanity.
Sure.
Here's a question. Would you guys have liked this movie more when you were 23?
No. I don't think so.
Maybe when I was like 19.
Okay, so I was going to say, like, we were talking about Get Over It. Like, I feel like if I was in the context of Get Over It, like, that sort of
17 years old kind of, yeah.
Like, I would have been fucking all over that. This seems like that same kind of feeling.
Yeah, but like, you would have had to be okay with so much philandering and so much just, like, people being really shitty to other people. And I feel like, even as a 23-year-old, which you guys did know me then, I wasn't that shitty.
You're a pretty good dude. You're still a pretty good dude.
I don't know.
Let the record show.
I could see being like 19 in my dorm room.
Yeah.
Like half a bottle of whatever I paid an older like friend of mine to buy for me.
Sure.
Like, it's called Vladdy's, I believe.
Probably, like catching it on TV and being like, oh man, look at these cool dudes. And like, that Rob Lowe can really play a saxophone.
My friend mentioned that she had seen this movie before and like, at least somewhat enjoyed it, but it was only because she had been living in Japan for the last 2 years and was desperate for anything in English.
That is just a glowing recommendation.
Yeah, you should tell her to get on Amazon and 5 stars this one.
So I looked this up on Amazon and Rotten Tomatoes and all sorts of things, and only one review talked about just how, like, utterly horrible all the men were in this movie, and like how Emilia was stalking people, and how it was like a horror movie, and how at any moment when I saw two characters on the screen, I definitely thought somebody was going to get punched.
And that person is going to be a guest on a future episode.
We'll find them. I mean, that's not surprising. I think, I was just going to say, like, what you were talking about earlier, Seth, where we take a negative view on everything. I feel like we really just leaned into that one for this.
I feel pretty fucking justified.
Yeah, it seems like, and reviews in general, like, I think we take a certain perspective on movies that is not just like, yeah, a bunch of dudes doing stuff. Like, you know,
right.
You gotta look into it a little further. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I'll definitely admit my own bias for sure. Yeah. But man, for anybody who considers themselves a human, this is a garbo
movie. So as a in a vacuum, St. Elmo's Fire, the real one, one.
Yeah, one.
10.
Ouch. Wow.
Maybe like a 0.5. It is honestly one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It drags.
It's it has problems with pacing. It has clearly subject matter issues.
It's despicable.
It's a total garbage movie, and like, as we've discussed, we like garbage movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. But I was prepared to love it.
But this
I had seen it once before and remembered thinking, ooh, this is bad, but it's fun bad. It's not fun bad.
Yeah,
it's
no. Bad. This is like a trash fire in the vein of a certain presidency.
Really putting John Tyler on blast.
Well, there goes the right wing listeners. God damn it, Seth. We're building the brand.
I was talking about Warren G. Harding, guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they're all dead, so that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so
fucking Millard Fillmore.
So dual ones on that. That is categorically the lowest
now,
I think we've had.
Now, if I were with a group of friends who are all roughly the same amount of drunk watching this movie and like picking it apart, I would thoroughly enjoy that experience.
That does sound a lot more palatable, but man, solo, I don't think this movie. No.
So it's a good watch it and shit on it movie is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. And for Zach's, I'll throw up a 5.
I kind of like this cheesy horror movie thing, so...
Okay.
I mean, so I'll give it, like, a 6. 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was very derivative, like, admittedly derivative, but,
Sure.
Hey, that's okay, buddy.
It sounds like I did better than, OG.
Oh, my. Definitely did better.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You crushed it.
Excellent.
And at least you tried to tie the title in more.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, no, that's why, like, you guys just said this is the worst movie ever made, but, like, I feel like I have to watch it now just to fucking figure out. You guys led off with... and get drunk. Okay, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But you guys led off with, oh, yeah, Demi Moore tries to kill herself, and then they try to cut her out of a thing with a blowtorch. And that was literally the first thing you said about this movie.
That was the most interesting part.
I mean, yeah, fair enough.
Seth, do you have a final thought about real St. Elmo's Fire?
I just hate it so much.
Yeah.
I just can't get over it being this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that movie's shit. Fuck that movie.
All right.
Zach, you want to tell us about next time?
Not breaking any new ground here. So all right, so this is episode 9. Next will of course be 10. We, again, so surprised that we made it this far. We feel the need to celebrate a bit.
Pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah, we're gonna throw ourselves a little ice cream social, and we made up a bit of a game, and I think we're gonna leave it sort of a surprise, but we think you guys will like it. It'll be a bit of a departure from the usual format, but you know.
And then we'll go back to usual format.
Yeah. Oh, and it's definitely in the spirit of the usual format. So. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, we're gonna do something new next episode, and then 11 will be back to norms. So.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys enjoy it, we will probably bring it back because. It's going to be pretty fun for us.
It sounds pretty fun right now. I'm excited to attempt this level of shitshowery.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, so Lee mentions, if you guys enjoy it, the only feedback we have is that just sad number of subscribers, just up and down, up and down, up and down. For reals, get on that WordPress. Shit, should have looked that up. fakingmovies.wordpress.com?
I believe that's what it's called.
I think that's right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Get on there and like tell us if you like the stuff, suggest movies. Like, if you want to be a guest, fucking get in there for that.
Yeah.
We need some, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be good.
All right, well, if that's all for this week, as always, Seth did it better, for sure. Yeah.
Oh,
categorically,
would not be hard to do it better than this.
Seth farted on Saint Elmo's on a microphone.
Oh boy! All right, fellas.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ciao.